Hello, business building warrior. This is your host, Jim Cochran, with another episode of Silent Sales Machine Radio. So excited that you've joined us for this fantastic episode. I can't wait for you to hear it. I've got a couple of announcements and then we'll dive into the content. First, we are on the very edge of our 12th annual live event. You've heard me talk about it many times if you've been listening to this show for a few months or so. It's the Proven Conference. There's a link in the show notes at silentgym.com to get all the details. We'd love to have you join us there, along with, as I'm recording this, way over 700 registered guests. This is the longest running Amazon seller conference in the world, 12th annual event. It's not just Amazon, it's e-commerce, it's multiple income stream strategies. And the 50 breakout sessions are students from our community who have succeeded wildly using the strategies we teach here. And now they're sharing what they've learned and how you can replicate the results that they're getting. That's our experts. It's not outside panels, people with books to sell and courses to sell. It's people from our community who are doing it using the content that you've heard on this show. Pretty unique approach to an event. It took a lot of work to get to this point. 12 years is no joke in e-commerce. We've been coaching e-commerce for about 20 years now. So we're very proud of what this community has developed into, and we really want you there. It's going to be in Orlando, Florida, May 23rd through 25th. If you can't make it to the event, you absolutely must grab the live stream that will be also providing you all the recordings from our event. So for a dollar or two per event, based on if you're getting a discount from us, being a coaching student or that sort of thing, you get 50 breakout sessions from the most cutting-edge experts and successful students in our community sharing exactly what's working for them right now. You simply cannot miss this event. If you get the live stream package as well, you'll also be put into a Facebook group where the entire event is happening. So you get all the live stream there, you get the recordings there, and you get to interact with all the attendees there as well for just a few dollars. So I hope you join us. As soon as the event starts on May 23rd, the price goes way up for live stream, for recordings, for everything. So you don't want to wait. Lock it in now. And another benefit of locking in now is you get to review all of the videos from the speakers who are giving you a little snippet of what they intend to talk about. So you can plan your time at the event or plan which live stream sessions you hope to check out during the event. All right, so let's talk about today's show. You may have heard several times over the past, let's say 2.5 years, a guest that we've had named Kang Dang. One of the most popular episodes that we've had actually of the past year or so was number 754. And then just a few episodes ago, we also made a special announcement about Kang and the system that he's built and how he's rolling it out to our entire community. I'll put links to all of that in the show notes. If you're writing down notes furiously, no need. I'll put links to all of that in the notes. But the one thing I do want to let you know is today we're running a replay of that very popular episode where Kang shares his story. He talks about the tragedy that his family faced, the triumphs that they eventually were able to build in face of that tragedy, and what he has for our community. In a nutshell, as far as his business goes, he's built a multiple million dollar replens business that's fully automated. His only job is to check his stats when he feels like it on his smartphone. And he's got a team of 2 people in his warehouse, 1.5, maybe 2 virtual assistants helping him out. And he's built an incredible business that runs itself. His only decision he has to make is how much money he's going to put into it using the strategies taught in the Proven Amazon course. The software that he's developed runs the entire workflow. You've heard us talk about it recently on another episode. I'm talking about silentgym.com/thesystem, all one word. And if you want to get in line to start using this software, it's very inexpensive. Just a few dollars per month once we roll it out. Right now, it's only available, however, to coaching students. Over time, we'll also roll it out to all of our Proven Amazon course students. And then as time and resources allow, as we've trained them and they're up and rocking and it's ramped up, we'll roll it out to the rest of the world as well at some point, probably. But the next several months is going to be coaching students and Proven Amazon course students. But I wanted to replay this today for a couple of reasons. One, the event is coming up at us really fast, and Kang's software and his story is going to be a big part of, a major part of what we're going to talk about at the event. And we've got a very busy team right now. Usually on Wednesdays, which is when this episode will be published, we have Brian and Robin Joy come on for a Coach's Corner episode. Well, they're busy and slammed. I'm very busy myself. I only had time to record an introduction in my crazy schedule as the event gets closer. So this is episode 754, played back again, for maybe those who haven't heard it yet. And if you haven't heard it in a while, listen to this episode. It's a very meaningful episode, both spiritually and emotionally. Family issues are addressed, how a business impacts all the important areas of life, and how a business can pull you through a difficult time. And then what it looks like to turn around and bless those who helped you get to where you are by returning some of that knowledge and some of that skill that you've acquired back to that community. It's a beautiful story, and I can't wait to have you hear it if this is the first time, or maybe revisit it and then tell us what you think, and then come excited, ready to take action and to change your life at the Proven Conference, May 23rd through 25th. We really want to see you there in Orlando. Get live stream if you can't make it. Hey, let's jump over and hear that conversation that I had with King just a few short months ago, but it's time to revisit this story in light of what we're launching around here. Again, silentgym.com/thesystem has been updated. You can jump on there, get more details as they're available. All right, enjoy this episode. So Kang, welcome back to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Well, a lot has happened since you were here last time, and I'm super excited to dive in and hear your version of the story, man. Let's go.
Yeah, a lot has happened. So just a quick recap. I like to do these recaps. This is the third time I've been on, so a lot of people don't know me. But, you know, I started back in December 2020, you know, made my first sale on Amazon. And first year we did really well. We almost cracked a million doing RA and OA in there. And then the second year, we kind of ventured off into wholesale. Did about 1.5 million or so second year. And now we're on that third year. And we started noticing that while wholesale is good, we said that, you know, let's kind of revisit our OA to see if it makes sense to kind of add it back. And while doing that, we found so many lost opportunities by not doing OA that we added it back. And, you know, that along with a few new things like branded bundles, we're probably going to get close to $3 million this year, depending on how the rest of December comes out. But nevertheless, at least double, probably close to double what we did the year before. So
that's amazing. Here we are, middle of December, you know, just to give people a point of reference of 2023. And you talk about possibly hitting 3 million for the year. Predominantly OA, online arbitrage replen system, with some branded bundles in the mix. And, mm-hmm. and we've talked a lot, you and I have, and about a lot of subjects, but I just want to pause just even now as I'm considering, like, that's a big OA business. That's a lot of ASINs. That's mm-hmm. quite a system. And I can't wait to dive into how you've done it with a relatively small team as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the challenge of kind of like the year number two, why we wanted to get away from doing OA is because it's just so many ASINs. And it was kind of a logistical nightmare to having to deal with all these micro transactions. Let's see, with wholesale, you can just place like you have a big enough vendor, you can place a $100,000 order in one shot. But, you know, with OA, the margins are fantastic with OA. It's just that you have to place so many little transactions to get there, so many ASINs. And that was kind of like the initial reason why we're like, it's kind of messy and I don't know how to deal with it. You know, so many spreadsheets and so many like receipts scattered all over the place. And, you know, we did wholesale. We kind of took a break from OA second year. And then, you know, towards the end of the second year, we're like, you know, if I had, I did this much in wholesale, if I had added OA back, what would this business be like? And that was kind of like the transition why we kind of doubled in our business, right? Is we brought OA back, but we did it in a more manageable way. And I'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, to continue, you know, with my story is that things have been going really well in the Amazon business, and it's always gone well for me. It's kind of weird how I look back, and it was just like, my life was almost kind of like scripted. Like I just felt like everything I wanted to accomplish, I was able to do it. And it's weird. It's almost like it's just gone my way always. And I was always kind of like a planner. You know, I always planned my life out. Like when I was little, I was like, you know, like 6 or 7, I already mapped out what my life was going to be like, right? And, you know, I said, I'm going to graduate, you know, from college at a certain age. I did it exactly, not one semester over. I said, I know who I'm going to meet and marry the type of girl I wanted to meet. And I met that exact woman. You know, had the exact amount of kids that I wanted at the right time. I said I wanted to be a millionaire by 30. I accomplished that through my previous business. I've done everything according to plan. And I even got, I would say, to the point of a delusion where I was like saying that, you know, when my wife, we were having our first child, and I was like, well, you know, what do you want? You know, we always do normal question. You want a girl? You want a boy? Like, what do you want? And we both unanimously said girl. And we had a girl, and the second one came out. And I said, what do you want? You know, she said, oh, I've never had a sister. I'd love her for her, you know, to have a sister. We had a second one with a girl. And then the last third one, you know, okay. I looked at my wife, all right, you want a boy, right? She was like, yeah, of course, we want a boy now. And this is the delusional part, right? I actually bought a book that says how to select your gender, right? And it shows you like all kinds of ways that you're supposed to do, whatever kind, you know, what you're supposed to eat and all kinds of medicine. You know what? I got a boy, right? So maybe it worked, right?
I will never know.
I will never know.
Wow. And
so it brought a level of, I would almost call it arrogance about me, that I felt like I could do whatever I want. I could accomplish whatever I wanted. And not until recently, our family had a very difficult situation where I lost my son. He was 4. And let me tell you that this boy, and let me tell you, he was everything to me. Like he was like a lot of parents, you know, we joke around, we ask parents sometimes, we're like, which one's your favorite? You know? And it's kind of like a dirty joke, you know, which child's your favorite, right? And it was, you know, the normal response, like, no, I can't choose between my kids. I love them all. And of course, every parent loves all their kids, but I will say without shame, this boy was my favorite. Just his personality is just out of this world. I've never met, like, a kid that, when I first learned about the 5 love languages, right? What is it? Words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch, right? I learned about that. And the person that taught me that asked me, which one is yours? And I had to think for a long time. I was like, man, I don't know which one I am. I don't like any of those things, right? I was like, man, am I really a heartless, cold person? Like, I don't have any of those. And then I finally thought, oh, no. I do like one, quality time. That's how I share my love with everyone, quality time. So I redeemed myself from being a rock. But this boy here, let me tell you, he had all 5. I've never met a person that was that just like the words, I love you, rolled off his tongue so easily. You know, he would just run up to you, give you just the most precious hug and say, I love you, Daddy. You know, out of nowhere, he would just do that. And every single thing. He was so affectionate. So like he would just love to hug and you know, he was so goofy and super intelligent. And that's the reason why I say, you know, personality wise, he was my favorite. And when I lost him, I mean, what do you do? What do you do when you lose a child like that? Right? Not only any child that is already so painful, but what do you do when you lose a child that you just adore so much? I mean, how can you even call a 4-year-old like your best friend? But he was. He's like my best friend. I hung out with him every day and all the time, any chance I got. It was just so fun to be around. And that brings me back to like when it caused me to think a lot during these last 5 months or so about what I really relied on in life. Was it skill that got me all these things? Was I like prophetic, you know, like that I named everything that I got? Or was it really arrogance, you know, that I felt like, yeah, it's all me, right? And this is coming from a person that, at the time, claimed to be a Christian, right? I grew up Roman Catholic. My dad was, still is, like, extremely hardcore about being a Catholic. And I always grew up with that, right? I always believed in God, but I only called on him when I needed him, you know? And I realized I kind of posed the question for myself after this incident is, like, who really sits on the throne of your life, right? And a lot of us, you know, we say we're Christians and we love God and everything, but when we wake up, who do we really serve? Do we serve him or do we serve ourselves? You know, and for me, I'm not judging you, but for me, I served myself, right? Everything was about me, my family, my business, my friends, my money. And then when I needed God, I just called God, right? It's like calling a friend. He didn't sit on that throne, you know? So that was the biggest realization for me, kind of like almost a slap in the face. And I said, oh, you know what? I just went down the wrong path for a really long time. And that's when I kind of started to really seek out to God. And I said, you know, I mean, like, you really need it. Like, if any time you ever need God, that's, like, for me, it's now, right? And it's funny. It's like, when you earnestly seek out to God, he starts to answer you.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a C.S. Lewis quote. I think maybe someone else could be misquoting here, but something along the lines of how God whispers in our victories and he shouts in our pain. Mm. And it just how much easier it is to if you choose to seek him, which is what I took part of this journey with you as a friend. And I know a lot of the story that listeners don't know today, you know, because we've talked numerous times about this scenario. Mm. But the thing I had going on inside of my head when this first went down is I was really praying, man, let this bring them closer to you, God, not push them away from you and just run, you know, I've seen bitterness because you got a choice to make. And it's not like you can kind of choose both. It's like you run in one direction or the other. You run to God or you run away from him in these moments, right? And just to see you guys take that journey and embrace. And the transparency you're sharing today, man, I haven't heard you use that word arrogance, and you've used it a couple times. And man, that I appreciate the transparency. I think this is going to speak, you know, because this is an e-commerce podcast, but e-commerce business can't be done outside of the sphere of the reality of the lives we lead and the families we have and the people we love. And those all get integrated in. So there's no real agenda here today from my vantage point of like, you know, oh, we're going to preach to everyone today. This is a business podcast. Business is done within that's a word I just kind of came up with, the sphere of the relationships that we all maintain, the people that are important to us. So this is all part of it because you were able to maintain your spiritual walk, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your daughters, your business through this pain. It hasn't been easy. But there's lessons there for us because we're all going to have pain at some point. Maybe not like the pain you've had. But that's just another reason why I call business builders of any kind warriors. It's a battle, man. You're fighting to keep a plane in the air while you're dealing with everything else that everyone else has to deal with all day, every day. And it's just, I have a great deal of admiration for how you and your wife have handled this and for the journey you're on. And it's been several months. Hasn't been a year yet, right? It's been several months.
5 months.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, it's
5 months. It feels like it's, I mean, just the internal battle, it feels like it's been years.
Right. Yeah, I know. And, you know, the reason I really like to share is because we can't really think business is just business, right? Business and life, it all gets mixed in, you know? And all of us at some point will have to deal with some kind of challenge like this. You know, the way I like to think about it is, you know, the death rate on this planet is 100%. So at some point, you're going to have to deal with it. Either it's you or somebody you love, right? And the key thing here is, you know, how to handle, you know, how to keep navigating your business through all these challenges. And for me, I can only share my perspective. I don't have the answers for everyone, but at least if I felt like if I were to share my story, and I know I'm not alone. I know there's a bunch of business building warriors out there that are suffering at the same time I am, dealing with their own grief and their own problems, and maybe this might help them. You know,
I'm sure it will. And the fact that you had a heart to even bring this to us. I mean, you, by all rights, you should have just said, you know what, I'm taking a few years off. I got some money in the bank. See you in 3 years, right? No one would have held it against you.
Well, I think the reason I'm sharing a lot is because, like I said, when you reach out to God, he talks back. And earnestly, when you speak out to him, he'll talk back. And this is the one thing that I heard when I seeked out to God. And I said, you know, of course, the first question of any grieving parent is, why? Right. Why is this? Why are you doing this? Right. And the funny thing is, my wife actually asked me, like, were you ever upset? Like, were you ever mad at God? And I said, no, actually, no, I wasn't. And that's weird. I don't know why I never was, but I just never was. I just accepted it and kind of like reconnected with the Father that I haven't spoke to in like 20 years. Right. And I asked them, I said, you know, God, why are you doing this? And I don't know how to explain it, but it's not an audible response, but it's almost as just as good that I felt, you know, inside of me when I asked that question. And I felt like I heard the words, wait and see. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes open, wait and see, right? It stuck with me. It just instantly when I asked him that, it just responded, like he just responded. Like, wait and see, you know, keep your eyes open. And I kept those words with me for a while. And then I shared it with my wife. I said, I don't know what this means, but he said, okay, wait and see. And it's funny. It's like having, sometimes I felt like I had an open dialogue with God. Like, you know, I'll share a funny story. One of the days that I had a weak moment and I said, I prayed to God. I said, God, I can't hear you right now. Like, where are you? I need you. Like, I can't. Feel you. I can't hear you. I need you today. You know, I was having a hard moment. And I went to work, put on a YouTube video. And no, I was not watching while I was driving. I like to listen to YouTube sometimes when I drive. And I just clicked on a random video. And a pastor said, okay, before we get into our interview, he was interviewing a gentleman, and he said, before we get into our interview, let's say a word of prayer. And he said, Heavenly Father, for those of you that are praying to you right now, saying, where are you? I can't feel you today. And I said, oh my goodness.
I call those divine appointments, man. I've got so many stories like that.
Yeah. And yeah. It was just, I just felt like, okay, God is really with me. you know, but there's so many like that. There was like, I don't have time to tell you, but there's just so many like little situations like that during these last 5 months where I felt like I had an open dialogue with God. But to cut to the chase, you know, when I seek the wisdom of, like I said, God, why are you doing this? And he told me to keep my eyes open, just wait and see. So to give you a little background, when I've known my wife for 22 years and married her for 15, and she supported me, she supported my faith, whatever I wanted. You know, she's a lovely woman. She supported me. And when we got married, she said, you know, we'll get married at church. But hey, I grew up agnostic. I don't know if I can believe in God, but whatever, you know, go with the flow, right? I got married in a church. She got baptized, and, the whole shebang, right? She supported me through the whole thing. And every time we go to church, she would, I mean, she was like, honestly, I'm just hoping it was over. You know, that was a long hour, you know, but whatever, you know, I'm here. And 22 years I've known her. That was the kind of like the standpoint, you know, and whenever I talk about God, it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, well, you know, life's good. What I need God for, you know, and almost instantaneously, without any effort from me, when we lost our son, she came to me. She says, I've finally given my heart to the Lord, right? Mm. And
she ran to the Father instead of getting bitter.
Mm-hmm. And I just watched her blossom through her faith. I mean, just like with no effort of mine, like I didn't do anything, right? And and I was like, wow, I just asked God why, and he said, wait and see, keep your eyes open, and look at what happened, you know? So
that's amazing. Yeah. So you guys are closer, you're closer to God, you know? I'm sure given the choice, you'd love to have your son back. But look what's happened as a result. And, you know, and it's, I think it's bigger than either one of us can actually calculate right now, because we, you know, we've spent several minutes now, and this is a business podcasting, but we're talking about a spiritual journey after the loss of a child. What's that about? I think there's a lot of people listening right now, and this is what they needed to hear today, more than, hey, here's a replens tip on how to find more profitable inventory at, you know, store X. You know, we're going to get to that, but I just want to emphasize again, Kang, before you continue your story, we recognize here that business is not done in isolation and some little thing you put on the shelf and take off the shelf every day. If you're a business owner, it impacts every area of your life.
Uh-huh.
And this is not only going to fuel you as a business leader, I think there's a lot of other people out there who are getting a priority adjustment today, a reminder today, just how blessed they are to have the flexibility they have to be with the people they love, even when business is dipping a little bit. You know, they, what a tremendous, how much gratitude we should have for the time we live in, for the kind of opportunities we get to enjoy are even possible,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you get to be around those, the ones that you love, and you did have that time, because right? You don't have to go back too far in time to some of the other episodes where you were on, you know, discussing these things with us, you know, in passing at the time, but just, man, I get to be around my kids now, right? And you were celebrating that.
Yeah. I was so grateful, and I still am so grateful for this business. And that's kind of like the reason why you guys really need to think about, like, why are you doing this business? It's not, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to make money, you know, but the freedom and the flexibility, and I stand by this still, is just, it's like no other, you know, like that I can be wherever I want to be, do whatever. I just took a 2-week vacation to Europe. Mm-hmm. And my business still chugged along and still grew and still things are still selling. I didn't even check my account for 2 weeks. I didn't even care. I came back. I'm like, oh, wow, numbers look great. So that's the beauty of once you get this business system to where it needs to be, it kind of runs itself. And it's just a wonderful thing. And you can't be more blessed than what we're doing, to be honest. But, you know, you have to know how to navigate, because there's so many things in business that could just sabotage you. I hear you, Jim, you talk about this all the time. Like, you can sabotage your business so quick. Like, for me, like, what happened to me, I could have, like, lit a torch under this business and just let it crumble, right? Through what happened to me, I could have just been like, I don't care anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
Liquidate everything, I don't care, right? And I could have done that.
But the spiritual lesson there is how hard it is to build things and how easy it is to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thought experiment one of my mentors gave one time on this topic, I really appreciated it, was he said, you can talk to a room full of people and say, quick, think of 10 different ways you could completely ruin your life and destroy your future.
Mm-hmm.
And we could all list them out very quickly. Like, mm-hmm. you have an affair. I could, you know, spend all the money in my bank. I could, you know, do something really stupid in my car, drive, you know, 200 mile an hour. And, you know, it's like instantly 10 different things fill your head. It could destroy my life. Now, here's the challenge. Think of 10 things you could do to dramatically improve your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's harder. You got to take some time to think about that one. Like, because everything on that list, you're like, why am I not doing that? Right? It's like this self-analysis, self-evaluation. But that's what we as business builders are always doing, is tamping down those things that could take us under.
Mm-hmm.
And doing more of those things that improve and take us on a better trajectory. And that's why we say all the time, Kang, building a business, I don't care what the business is, it's going to require anything worth having for that matter. Blood, sweat, tears, risk, sacrifice, work, patience, like all that goes into it, right? All these virtues, you need all of them. And, mm-hmm. and that's, again, another reason why we call people warriors. There's 1,000 ways to blow up a business.
Sure.
Like, why spend time on a podcast talking about that? We want to talk about what it takes to actually keep it going, because that's the default condition is failure. What's it take to actually continue and sustain and build something worth having? That's where the interesting topics are, because it doesn't take any creativity at all to tear something down or blow it up.
Yeah.
Hero work required.
Yeah. You can just leave it alone. It'll crumble.
Yeah. Right? Do nothing. That's how I'm going to destroy every, right? Just decide I'm going to stay in bed for a month and not talk to anybody. Okay. You've just ruined most of your life, relationships, finances, health. Like, you're going to do is nothing. That's a great point.
Key word here is entropy, right? If you just leave it alone, guess what's going to happen, right?
And that is the default state, entropy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to fight against it.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's why I think, you know, to anybody who is out there suffering dealing with pain, you know, there's really only two, for me, only two ways in my perspective that I'm in right now. It's two ways to heal, right? Either you let the pain kind of just dull out over time and develop into some kind of scar. And the way I see it is you're just going to be a less beautiful person if you do that. Because just like a scar, it's just going to be a mark on you and you're just never going to recover from it.
Mentally, emotionally, and I would even argue physically, you can see people whose the weight of the pain that they've, what they've been through has just beat them up, and you can see it on them. You can see it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I told my wife, I said, you know, thank goodness that I know my God. Mm-hmm. What would I do in this situation if I didn't know my God? And to me, that is the only way to heal for me. That's the only option that I see, because I'm not just going to let myself scar, you know, build scar tissue and be, a rougher, tougher person. No, that's not who I want to be. I want to be an improvement of what I was, right? And I can see that in myself. Like ever since I reconnected with God, I started to see people differently. I started to speak differently. I started to let things into my mind differently. I don't watch stupid movies. I don't listen to dumb music. You know, I do, you know, I let only good things into my mind. And, you know, so I've the first thing I asked, you know, when Jim, you reached out to me, he's like, anything you can do for me? I was like, Jim, can you buy me a Bible? I don't even have one right now. You know? That's a gift you can give me. You know, give me a Bible. I'm like nonstop every day.
That's beautiful. It's a good study Bible, if I recall correctly. We got you. So I'm glad that you're enjoying it, dude. That's awesome.
I love it. And it's funny. I've read the Bible cover to cover probably twice in my life. And it meant nothing to me. It's just like, okay, you know, cool. I know what Jesus is about and the Old Testament and what happened there. It was kind of like reading a novel. And then as you're older and you're in harder times and you read through the Bible, you're like, wow, words just pop out. Like all kinds of words of wisdom and comfort and love. It just pops out at you, like to the point where sometimes I'm just staring at a verse, reading it over and over. And it's just like, okay, like, oh, wow, you know?
Yeah, meditating.
Yeah.
I'm just a simple, you know, I do that with Proverbs. I've been through the book of Proverbs, without exaggeration, probably hundreds of times, just cover to cover, from start to finish. Yeah. And every single time, I'm like, no way, I haven't noticed. How did I not notice that before? Every single time, it's like it speaks to right where you're at right now today, which is a new place that you've never experienced before. And hey, you're right. As you get older, there's a deeper appreciation for, I think, just how many different ways things can go wrong.
Yeah. Right? I think it has to, it's a spiritual thing too. Like when you honestly seek out to God, He speaks to you through His word, right? And like when you don't, you're just reading random words.
Right.
And those types of things. So, you know, like my word of encouragement for those who are kind of suffering like I am is to just keep moving forward. And you would be surprised what my favorite part, my favorite section that I read through the Bible. You would think that I would be attached to things like John 14, where talks about my Father's house has many, many mansions.
In my Father's house there are many rooms. Yeah. And many mansions.
Yeah, many rooms. Yeah. You'd think I would be attached to those things, right?
But actually, that's where your son is now. Yeah.
He is. And that's one of the first chapters that stuck out at me. But as I kept reading it, I kept growing through it. The one, and you'd be surprised, that kind of helped me the most through this it's way back in Genesis, right? It's when Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed by God, right? And the first time I read that, I was like, okay, that's just a history event, right? But as I read it, this really stuck out. And I hope that this would help others as well, because it helped me immensely, where basically the angels told Lot, take your family, run. Right? He says, he basically...
And don't look back.
Yeah, he says, run, flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere, right? And for me, I was like, I was just reading it, and it just stopped me dead in my tracks at that verse. And I said, okay, don't look back. And I thought about how many times have I tormented myself from thinking about the exact moments of my son's passing, of him being in my arms and just passing. And that tormented me for weeks on end. I just like, every time I thought about it, I'm just like, I'm going to bed. I don't want to do anything. And when I think of it, every time I let those intrusive thoughts come in, I just think about that verse. I said, you know what? God says, keep going. Don't look back. Trust me. And just don't stop anymore. Just keep going. Right?
Yeah.
And that, I'm telling you, has been instrumental in kind of killing any kind of like automatic negative thoughts in my mind. Every time I'm about to have an intrusive thought, I think about that verse and it just gone. It's a proof. Like, okay. I'll just listen to what God told me. Keep moving.
Yeah, but and still one of my favorite words, and this applies in all areas of my life, business, relationships, spiritual walk, is the word remember. Very significant word. We don't remember the negative in the context we experienced it, however. We remember how God delivered us from that thing. Mm-hmm. That's the reason, you know, they would be able to build memorials. They'd stack up stones. This is where things went really bad, but God stepped in. And we remember the incident through that lens of how God provided. So it's not so much, and that allows us to continue forward. It's not that we, you know, forget those things. There's no way to completely block out those memories, but you can remember them from the context of the lens of how God provided anyway, how God sustained us and renewed. Like, look where we are now. You can't appreciate where you are now unless you look back. This is one of the reasons we tell business builders to keep a journal, because every mountain you're climbing right now, you'll look back and it'll be a molehill in the rearview mirror soon enough. And the lesson is the mountain I'm climbing now is going to be a molehill soon too. Don't get intimidated by the giant you're facing today, because that'll be a page in your journal a few years from now and you'll laugh at how worked up you got.
Yeah,
because God sustained you once again. So it's that pattern of remembering how God helped us overcome. It's not so much about forgetting, not looking back. It's this matter of remembering mm-hmm. how God is faithful, and that's how we got through it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And, you know, for me, it's just, that's kind of like my secret weapon. I only use that verse whenever intrusive thoughts get into my head. Like I start thinking about those kind of PTSD moments, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know for a lot of people that they don't know how to deal with those type of things. They just let it kind of ruminate and fester and just grow into a bigger problem. Yeah. And for me, that has been, you know, it's like Jesus walking through the desert being tempted by Satan, right? He's just like, it's just popping out, you know, scripture, right? Just get away from me, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like that thing for me. It's just like, I know that a lot of people who've gone through grief, it's almost like self-torture, you know, like you just do it to yourself and you don't have to think about those awful moments, but you just do it, right? It's like an automatic negative thought.
You begin ruminating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have some mechanism to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that has been really helpful for me. That's why I really wanted to share.
But I'm so glad you did too. And one of the things, you know, my family has been involved in recovery and counseling type of ministries, you know, decades, not me personally, but I picked up a lot of really good stuff from my parents. You know, my dad was probably one of the best counselors I ever knew. Like you couldn't freak him out. He's seen it before, been there, done that, navigated it himself or know someone who did. Just incredible. And one of the things you said, you know, about, you know, kind of looking forward, he would always say, you know, what's that next right thing I need to do? What's that next right thing? If assuming I was feeling great today, what's that one little thing I would do to get me? So you take some physical action. And one of the ways, you know, I mean, this is true in Alcoholics Anonymous or, you know, even the non-spiritually driven recovery programs, they know someone has made it out, or at least they're heading in the right direction out of that pit they were in. The way you know that they're finally on a good trajectory, it's the last step of the 12-step program in the recovery process, is they become other-oriented again. The ability to focus on the needs of others is back on their radar. They're thinking like you're doing today. You know, we're only a few months in here, and already you're adjusting your efforts on others. I need to say these things. This is going to benefit other people. I need to teach them these business systems. I need to help them grow and have them, you know, protect the relationships that matter to them by having the flexibility of schedule. You arguably could have waited a few years and no one would have held it against you. But one of the signs that I know that you're on a good trajectory, along with many other things you said, is the fact that you're ready to focus on others again. We've said, you know, Nathan and I've had some conversations. Are you sure you're ready, man? You good, King? Like, take your time, buddy. There's no rush here. And you're like, no, I'm good. This needs to happen. Yeah. This is the direction we're supposed to be going. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And through this experience, it's kind of enhanced my desire to serve. You know, before, again, it's just about me. You know, it's just mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm going to build a system. So, you know, to handle my business. And then, you know, I'll worry about it later. But then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I built a system for a year and a half. And let me get you kind of like into why I built a system, right? Like I kind of mentioned it in the beginning of the podcast is that I like doing OA, but it was just so incredibly messy. And if you listen to my second podcast, I use the exact same words. It's so messy. I hated it. I hated doing OA because it's just so messy. But while doing wholesale, I said, you know, I'm missing out on a lot of opportunities here because I remember how great the margins were doing OA. And so let's fix that. Let's see how we can introduce it back in a clean way, right? So my goal in building the system that I'm about to tell you is that I wanted to solve the challenges that I was facing, right? So for instance, with OA, when we were sourcing, like, for me, finding good quality leads was quite easy. And I think that once you know the replan system, it'll come very easy to you too.
We'll get back to the show in just a moment, but I have to tell you about a coaching program that's been around for about 19 years. It's coached almost 10,000 e-commerce business building warriors. It's got a team of about 60 coaches who are not only great teachers with tremendous hearts who love their students, but they're all succeeding at the business strategies that you hear taught on this show. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm talking about our coaching program. There's a link at silentgym.com. Get over there, get on our schedule, have a free consultation, zero pressure. We're going to help you build your business on that call. Sign up at silentgym.com. Free consultation. See if our coaching program is a good fit for you, where you get to not only work one-on-one with one of our tremendous coaches, not only do you get that, you also get a reactive coach that you can contact at any point in time. That's a separate coach. You get all the training and content that we provide around here at no cost now and into the future. Tremendous list of benefits. I'm not going to go into all of them right now. Silentgym.com. Click on the coaching link, sign up for a consultation. Hey, let's get back to the program.
For instance, with OA, when we were sourcing, like for me, finding good quality leads was quite easy. And I think that once you know the replan system, it'll come very easy to you too. Finding leads is not really the issue.
It's not.
It's that you're finding so many leads that it's hard to keep up with it. And because the thing is, when you find a lead, the problem is it may or may not be good by the time you buy it, right? So as, you know, you have to kind of work in steps, right? So you have to find the lead first, kind of leave it in your bucket of, you know, your funnel, right? And then as you go purchase it, you have to review it again, make sure that the landscape hasn't changed, the, you know, 12 sellers didn't automatically like find the same lead. And we know what happens when more sellers jump in, you know, supply, demand, you know, we know how that graph goes, right? But so it was so time consuming to go through all of those leads, right? And it's not like a lead where you got a wholesale thing where you're going to buy 500 units. You know, it's going to be like 5-10 units here, right? So it's a lot of leads to go through. And that was one of the problems that I wanted to solve. So, you know, we created a system where once you find the lead, you can continue to track the lead. You can leave it in your system. And then, you know, with a click of a button, you can kind of refresh and get all of the new data and say, oh, you know, hey, when I found the lead, there was only 3 sellers. Now there's 15 sellers. I'm going to hold off on this for a second, right? Without having to do all the manual research. So we did that. and built that kind of, you know, system where it just saves us so much time of sifting through leads. And then, you know, I wanted to solve the problem of, okay, you know, what do I do with all these receipts? I know most sellers in OA, they just leave it in their email, right? They just leave it in their email. And then when Amazon hits them with an IP complaint, like, okay, let me find out what order order number this ASIN is responsible for. And now they find out there's 15 orders that they got to look through their email, right? And we have to do that. That's why we know the pain of doing that. So I wanted a receipt management system that said all I have to do is type in the ASIN. It pulls up all my receipts in one shot. And then the thing that I also really dislike about OA is when you can, even if you use a prep center, which I did at the time for OA, it comes in like a million boxes, right? You don't get a pallet like you do at wholesale, right? It comes in a little box here with two items, a box here with 10 items. And checking in items was such a huge bottleneck for me that I said, okay, well, how do we solve this, right? And especially those, I'll tell you right now, you guys will be laughing once I tell you this, right? Those who do shoes or clothing, but I'll just stick with shoes, right? Because I did a lot of shoes at the time. When you get a shoe and you're trying to look for this like Nike Renew shoe that says it on the box, right? And you're looking for the shoe and saying, which one of this is on my buy list so I can track down the correct ASIN, right? You know, the listing would say Nike Men's Gymnastic 9.5. You know, how are you supposed to find that shoe, right? And so we wanted to develop a system that can get you to find that shoe quickly. And by developing these systems, I'm able to run this business with a very low overhead, you know,
my warehouse.
Yeah, my team, my warehouse team is one permanent employee and one part-time. That's it.
For a $3 million OA replens business running at nice margins, mm-hmm. Couple employees.
Yeah, a couple employees.
Small space needed. Stuff comes in and goes out fast. All because of the software. And I want to point out now, some people may not know your story. We'll put links in the show notes to the other two episodes where you kind of talked through your history. But in your previous career, before you were able to be home with your family, you were working, you know, way too many hours a week traveling and running this business that was running you into the ground. But it was a significant sized business. And you developed software that pretty much automated the entire place. And correct me if I'm wrong, was it those dozens or hundreds of employees kind of scenario? I mean, how big was that?
At our peak, we had 134 employees.
Yeah, so dozens and dozens, well over 100 people. And they were all relying on this system that you built because you've got a software engineering kind of brain. And something I love about the way your mind works, King, is you can take these complex processes and you've stated it in such a way that you haven't given it enough credit. That's what I'm trying to say. This system you've built, some of the bullet points you've just thrown at us so far, I mean, there's people running businesses that are, you know, a quarter or, you know, maybe an eighth the size of yours that require a staff of 3, 4, 5 people. Because they're spending all their time checking in stuff. Which ASIN was this again? Okay, wait, where's that receipt again? Oh, okay, you know, where do we store this stuff on the shelf? It's going to be here a while because we're not going to get this stuff out the door for a while because it takes us forever to create a shipment. Mm-hmm. Right? You've simplified this down to where you've got like 1.5 people running a $3 million business and you're taking 2 weeks in Europe and not even looking at your numbers. Like, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, another observation from my vantage point, we've been doing this for several years now, teaching replens, a lot of people making a lot of money building beautiful businesses, but the systems haven't matured with the opportunity. And that's what I get excited about. The opportunity is out ahead of the software and systems needed to support it with the smooth functionality, with ease of, you know, we can get a new person in, teach them the basics. So this is going to be a game changer. I'm almost a little jealous of the people that come in like 6 months from now. Like, oh yeah, here's the software you need. Oh, cool. Hey, this works great. They're not going to ever know the pain of, wait a second, I need 15 spreadsheets to do. Like, how do I know when it's time to go back and look at an old ASIN that stopped working? Like, should I put it on my calendar? No, the software is going to alert you when things are good again. You just refresh all your ASINs. Hey, here's the ones worth looking at again from your catalog, right? From the stuff that you sold in the past, how many ever years or months. Here's the ones worth going back and take a peek at. It's just boom, instant.
Yeah.
Our jaws dropped when we started seeing your demos of this, Nathan and I, and the leaders who have taken a peek at it so far are really excited as well. And I already mentioned it in the introduction, but I want to mention for people who are interested in seeing and getting on the list for this software and the training, go to silentgym.com/thesystem. That's what we're calling it for now until we get this thing popped out to the public. And you want to get on the early notification list because we're going to take our time and really do this right with the first wave of students. We're doing that right now. We're testing it with leaders and other people who are close to you. We're rolling it out slowly. But once we're like, hey, this is ready for big time, we're going to take a wave of students through and get them set up on this system. So yeah, I just wanted to throw that little mini commercial out there, silentgym.com/thesystem, all one word. Get on the notification list there and we'll let you know as soon as this is ready. Get you a good deal, good discount to jump in. Of course, we're going to take care of our proven Amazon course and coaching students first as well with access to this and a discount. But all right, man, let's keep it going. You're starting to break down some of the features, some of how it's impacted your business.
Yeah.
Let's keep going through the list.
Yeah. And that's the thing that, you know, that we ultimately saw, right? The receipts, they're nice. Yeah. The you know, tracking leads and stuff, that's nice. But the thing that we ultimately saw was the concern that, hey, we're leaving a lot of money on the table. Like, why are we not doing OA? You know, the wholesale's fine. You know, it's great. It is what it is, right? But these OA, I mean, you guys have experienced it. I mean, a lot of these OA leads are, you know, you're making like, you know, ridiculous margins that you'll never find doing wholesale, right? And when we did that, and we kind of basically solved this problem. And, you know, it's like, you guys would know, like when you've done OA a lot, you have a lot of ASINs. Like you just build up an arsenal of ASINs. Like right now I have over 6,000 ASINs just over the last 3 years that I've done it. And I've deleted a lot already. You know, I have over 6,000 ASINs. How do you go back and re-scrub through 6,000 ASINs? I mean, literally, I don't even need anybody to find me any more leads for a long time. I can just go through my ASINs.
Yep. And recheck the old ones. How often do you do it? Once a day, once a week?
You couldn't build a team in a profitable way to scrub through that many ASINs every single day. And that's what we solved with this, is that the system itself goes through and tells you when, based off of your criteria, when it's the right time to look at this ASIN again. I'll give you an example. You know, I'd like to say no ASIN is a dead ASIN. When it tanks, and it will, it's still a great ASIN. Keep your eye on it, right? It happens like time and time again. You'll see it like clockwork. You'll see 50 sellers jump on. They all go into the bloodbath. Nobody makes any money. And then they all drop off like flies. And then guess what happens? The price starts to recover. It goes back to where it was. And that is the thing that we miss out as sellers, is that we don't get on the right opportunity. We don't find the right time because we have so many ASINs that it's impossible to scrub through. That when you have a system like this, and it's just dramatically improved our margins by a lot. Because what it does for you is that you can go in now and say, tell me all of my ASINs that are good to buy right now. The sellers are dropping off. The price is recovering. You know, you can kind of play with it however you want. It's kind of like in your hands, right? In your control. You can kind of tweak and fine tune the filters however you want. But what it does for us is every day we're able to go in and says, okay, is this ASIN still a good buy right now that we have in stock? And then to replenish, right? Because that's the whole point of the replenish system, so that you can replenish. But what about the leads that I either didn't buy or I bought a long time ago that tanked? What are their conditions right now? And by just a few clicks, you know, it gives you literally, like every day I have hundreds, like that my purchasing team that goes through and says, oh, this is still good. They once they know that the market conditions are good, the only thing you really need to validate is, can I still buy it? And is this still the same price, right? That's it. That's all you got to do. And I have literally like just VAs just sitting there every day, just going through my old ASINs and just buying like replenishable items.
Because the system has green-lighted them as being worth taking a look at. And like you said, can we still buy it? If so, is the price still the same? If the price has changed, you plug in the new price. Is it still worth it? Yes or no? Let's go. Green lights all the way. time to order another few units of this thing.
So if you can imagine the process here, right? Like I have a team of VAs that are finding me new ASINs every single day, right? So they're just kind of filling up the funnel more and more. And then I have another set of VAs that are just going through and buying old ASINs. So it just keeps piling on. Like it literally, sometimes I'm just like, okay, guys, I'm starting to run out of money here. Can you slow down a little bit? You know, like, there's just too many to buy. At great margins, because you're kind of like almost timing the market almost, because you're waiting for the sellers that are, buying it because off of the lead list or something. And then there's a million sellers jump on. None of them make money. They liquidate at horrendous prices, right? And then they're scared. They're like,
which makes that ASIN rise in popularity.
Yeah.
Because Amazon notices when a whole bunch of sellers jump on something and then the price starts dropping, they reward that ASIN with extra attention and eyeballs. But then the crowd of sellers is gone. So now you've got this beautiful ASIN sitting there with a lot of public attention from shoppers and very few, if any, sellers interested in selling it anymore because, oh no, the price tanked and they all ran away scared, which is the way a lot of very inexperienced sellers or people who aren't paying attention to their numbers play the game. They run where the crowd is. And they run in with the crowd of sellers, which is also a crowd of buyers. But pretty soon, the crowd of sellers, they all run away. All you're left with is a crowd of buyers and no one left to sell the item. And if you can identify, that's happening tens of thousands of times all day, every day on different ASINs. You know, there's a billion ASINs on Amazon.com. A billion. That's great. There's 4 billion globally. There's a billion in the U.S. with these changes happening constantly. So once you learn it, I love how you said kind of time the market. It's not that hard to do. You're not guessing anywhere. You're making very educated, calculated investments in inventory. Again, where worst case scenario is kind of a break even. Best case is, hey, let's go in and get some money while it's good. Other sellers come in. All right, we're out again. Have fun beating each other up, guys. Mm-hmm. Right? That opportunity is there. So I think this software is really going to accelerate the businesses of a lot of sellers in our community, especially those who have an appreciation for exactly what it is that we're giving them here. I think they're going to get pretty excited hearing this episode today.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I've done. I have literally not even added wholesale accounts in the last year or so. I just kind of let the OA run itself and it's been growing without any effort from me. And I can't imagine how, if I were to really tell my team, all right, blow this thing up. Here's your budget to buy as much as you want. I don't even know what my numbers would be, but I kind of keep that in check, right? Nevertheless, I've shared personally. I've never let anybody use the system outside of myself. But I've a lot of people always ask me like, what are you using? What software are you using? I'm using this software combined with this software combined with this, and then it's just like, and then really my default answer is, I use my own. I don't use anybody's software. And I use it to source, to buy, to keep track of receipts, to check in products. I don't use anybody's software outside of like, let's say ScanPower, which is just doing, printing stickers for me.
You're referencing Keepa data, obviously. You've got an API feed from them, which is part of the constraint to the price of this. Because one of the questions people might ask is, well, hey, let's just load all billion ASINs into this software and to see which ones are like, oh, that's expensive, right? Because Keepa is going to charge you for all those data hits. So that's one of the constraints you kind of have is, how much money is Keepa going to charge? And it's not a lot. It's not like it's restrictive in any way, but this is why we will have to charge for this software because we are pulling from Keepa's API, from their data feed. And for those who don't know why we're talking about Keepa, go listen to podcast episode 369. Anyone in our community who's had any level of success is using the data that Keepa scrapes from Amazon that's not available anywhere else except inside of Keepa. Unless someone's bought the API, then they're pulling that data into their own database, which is what you've done here. Mm-hmm. But that's where the price goes up. If we've got a user who's operating with say $6,000 or $10,000 ASINs, that's going to be pricier to monitor than a new seller who's coming in with, hey, I'm just looking for my first 5 or 10 here. Right. Okay. Much different price structure for you. Let's grow into this thing. But I love what you said. We call it the Frankenstein system. And a lot of teams already out there, a lot of sellers already out there have their system that works great. And it might be a little harder for them to transition away from that than it is someone who's brand new. But I think we're going to make a nice clean path for both sides of the aisle, experienced and brand new sellers eventually to kind of drift into this and let this be the system that makes the decision making so much easier for this business to the point where a team can run it.
Mm-hmm. I think once they see the benefits of switching away from their spreadsheets, because the problem with the spreadsheet is once you write that data in, it's static. You don't get any more live updates of that data, right? You don't get any more Keepa updates. You don't get anything. So once they, even an experienced seller, in my opinion, once they try out the system and see all of the lost opportunities that they are not, they're doing to their business, right? By just having massive amounts of ASINs on a spreadsheet that you have to manually go in and scrub. Not only is it time consuming, that's costing you money. How many people are you going to have to employ to do that, right? Whereas you can have a system that is just monitoring it for you.
Right.
And a few clicks and then you're off running and you're doing the important parts. It's validating purchases. That's really what you're doing.
Yeah. And someone else could be doing that as well. Just like, yep, these all look good to me. Check the box, buy them.
Yeah.
Right. How much money do we have to spend? How much money can we put into a system? We put a dollar in and we get $2 out. How many dollars do you want to put into it? You've kind of reduced it, which a big picture observation about what's been built here by Yukang is now we can start to see and imagine. And let me just predict 2 years from now what's going to be happening in the industry as a result of the software. You can start to predict and imagine people selling their replens businesses to another party. Right. Because what you're buying is that block of ASINs and the system that's monitoring them and constantly purchasing the ones that are worth purchasing. Mm-hmm. If there's plenty of people right now, if you put your business up for sale, would be interested buyers. Because we're not talking about flying around town in the car scanning barcodes anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not talking about, hey, get in on the seasonal deals and get out while you get in, sell as much as you can. Don't buy too many of the seasonal deals. No, this is boring, everyday, systemized, turnkey type of thing. This is where the industry is maturing to. And those who get in on this are going to experience the opportunity, I believe, to sell their business, to get an offer. An aggregator of some kind might come in and say, all right, Kang, I want to buy your business. I want to buy Jim's business. I want to buy this guy, that guy, and that guy. And we're going to get $10 million and we're going to buy all these businesses. And you guys can have an exit. Because to date, replen sellers haven't had the opportunity to have an exit for the most part.
Because doing OA is really messy.
And it's messy. But if you can turn a messy system into a pure, clean running system where the owner doesn't have to be the one that's in there every day making hard decisions and looking at lists of spreadsheets and making tough calls. I mean, that's just my theory. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's where we're heading.
Oh, I think you're right. And that's what I've done. It's like I don't get into the day-to-day, weeds of the business. What I do is I work on other things. I work on the software. It's been kind of my passion project for the last year and a half. And I'm looking to do other things, there's a lot of opportunities that we've not discussed, but I'm looking forward to the educational aspect of this, right? I'm planning on, working with you guys on not only just providing some kind of software, but education on how to actually, replicate what I did, right?
Yeah.
We haven't really buttoned anything, putting anything down, but I can definitely see a pathway to doing that, because I think, software is great, but really it's just how do we build this business, right?
Proper way. Of course. And I'm excited that we've already got an army of people who have kind of Frankensteined together systems that are working very profitably, changing lives. Mm-hmm. And some, we have multiple seven-figure sellers in our community who are doing this stuff all day, every day. And they've kind of built these systems together, pieced them together. Here's a solution that starts to take some of those other software requirements off the table. And I think there's still going to be people who are very loyal to the systems that they've built, and that's going to be great. And keep doing what you're doing. We're not telling anybody to put the brakes on anything and just put all your chips on this table. But I think the transition period over the next few years of people who start to simplify and systemize. Again, the website, silentgym.com/thesystem. I think a lot of people are going to take advantage of that. And the new people coming in suddenly have a lot of advantage in that they're not going to have to unwind any of the bad habits. They're going to get going from day one. And I love that you're going to be involved in the education pieces too, because this isn't just a matter of, hey, I'm going to hit a few buttons and you guys will do it for me, right? No, there's a mindset required here. There's a leadership journey involved in owning any business. None of that changes. You're going to need to learn the basics. You're going to need to learn to recognize what a good test-worthy ASIN is and what it isn't, because you're not just going to go find some VAs who are just going to make all the decisions for you. You've trained these people how to make good decisions. That's part of the process. Yeah. But once you've got those things in place, this is a replicatable system that's been built.
Yeah. And the system is really just a support for the original, really the original, I would call gold mine course. It's the Replants course, right? Mm-hmm. It's that course that kind of like started this whole thing for me. And it's that course that I built this software around. It's not, this software is replacing any knowledge. It's really built to support the knowledge that you're getting from the Replants course that's in PAC. That is crucial. You have to have that knowledge. The system is not going to do anything for you if you don't have that knowledge. So, you know, that's, you know, very important. You know, it's a lot of people think this business is just easy. No, it's not.
No.
I mean, I took a trip to Europe because I learned, I've like sweat and bled, you know, like and now I've built not only a software system, but a team that is running the system for me, right? So that I could, you know, when I ran into hard times, I could take off for a few weeks without anything happening. And then when I wanted to, you know, take the family out or for a vacation, I could do that without having to, you know, I literally did not check my phone. I was there for 2 weeks. I came back.
Yeah.
I said, okay, is it going to be a disaster? Here's the moment of truth. Yeah. Right? I opened up my phone like, oh, fantastic. Just like every day.
Everything's good. Yeah.
So that's a real test to like a strength of a business, right? Like you need to be like, I know people who make literally a lot of money doing it all by themselves in a garage. Like their sales are like incredible. It's just impressive, right? You're like, wow. But if a bus hits you, bye-bye business, right?
It's gone.
So at the same time, I admire those folks for building such an incredible business by themselves. It's not stable, and I don't think I recommend it. So
yeah, eventually, you know, it's the premise of that book, E-Myth by Michael Gerber. You know, you want to move from being a technician and someone who's actively involved in doing the day-to-day duties of your business. The example he uses is just because I can make good pies doesn't mean I'm capable of being the business owner of a pie shop or a bakery that, you know, or own business owner, or of starting a franchise model for pie making business. Like that's a different skill set. You need the basic pie making skills. You need the basic Replants skills. But if you stay the guy making the pies all day, every day, as fast as you can and selling them to as many customers as you can, if you stay in that mindset, the person working in the business every day instead of working on your business and the model, you can still live a beautiful life. And I know many people who do, and they enjoy the flexibility and building the business with their family. But it's a little step that you make at some point where you say, okay, am I the only person that could be doing what I'm doing right now? Let's build a system instead. And I can turn this over to somebody else someday. I could have an exit, you know, get a nice check from somebody. And maybe I'm the consultant who's on call for a few years, maybe. And that's my commitment to the process. And someone else now owns this system that's been built. And for so long, RA and OA, these, you know, retail and online arbitrage have kind of had the reputation of like, you don't really have a sellable asset there. You need to get into private label, or you need to get into some of these other opportunities to truly have a sellable asset. And I'm excited that narrative is about to change, I think, in a dramatic way in the next year or two. Something else I love about this, we haven't talked about, Kang, is your heart. And I know this, you know, I've done a fair amount of developing in the past, software development. There's kind of two schools of thought. One is, this is my system. This is how I like it. I built it this way. Take it, you know, take it or leave it, like it or hate it. I don't care. This is what I built. That's not a feat. That's not a bug. That's a feature, man. And like, hey, just have fun. That's not your approach at all. You're saying, hey, I want more people using this.
No.
So we can improve this thing so we can make it even better for those of us. Like, let's do this as a community, right?
Yeah.
So the core has been built and it works, but
yeah,
plenty of cool things we can do.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about the most, is that once we get this out to the community, you know, I want an active forum where we're talking about what we can do. Like, you know, like even small things, like look at this whole generic issue that we're dealing with, right? It's a small thing. Hey, can you just alert me when there's a generic a listing that comes up. I mean, I see other people like coming up with solutions like this, but we could be, you know, the community that builds the software together and just progress it, you know, along and come up with features that, like, I know there's so many bright ideas out there for people who are currently doing sourcing and it's like, I wish that I had this thing. Well, let's build that thing. Right. Mm-hmm. I love it. That's mm-hmm. kind of like always been my passion, you know, more than really building businesses, it's building the software that supports that business and building something that no one else has. I love that challenge. And
yeah,
to be able to work with a group this large that potentially could feed in ideas, man, that just gets me super excited. So
it's gonna be phenomenal, man. And I'm not concerned about the speed. Appreciate the trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. Since we started talking about this a long time ago, there's been no big pressure. Like, let's get it out. Like, no, let's do this right. Let's take our time. Let's get a few people in, because the trajectory that I see, and if I'm able to prognosticate for a moment and predict the future, I think we're gonna have a whole bunch of people using this system. Is kind of like the default. People are going to wonder, like, what was it like before that was even around? Like, how did you guys do this? Like, you use spreadsheets? What, really? And so that'll be ancient past. And the conversations will be, hey, yeah, I'm launching my new Amazon account because I just did an exit on my old one, built it up to, you know, $200,000 a month, and someone came along and bought it up. And I'm gonna start over again over here and, you know, signed a non-compete and it's theirs now. And I did my exit. I took a few months off and now I'm going to, you know, go into consulting or whatever. Right. So it just opens up so many doors of opportunity when you can build a system. So I love that's kind of what we're in-house. That's the name you and I came up for this right before we got on the podcast. They're like, we got to call this something so everyone knows what we're talking about. Let's call it The System. Right. Yeah. Silentgym.com/The System. Get on the waiting list so you can get more details. It's not going to be super expensive. I think maybe some people are like, oh, here we come. Here comes the big old price tag. No, you need to understand replens. You might want to go through coaching if you haven't done that, or you need to get into the proven Amazon course to understand the basics. But after that, we're not talking about a super pricey system. It's certainly going to be cheaper than most people's Frankenstein systems that they've built. $20 a month here, $80 a month there, you know, stacking all these software pieces together. It's going to be cheaper than that for sure. We don't have the pricing nailed down quite yet, but it's not going to be price prohibitive for the vast majority of students in our community who recognize and understand what it is they're getting in return, especially. Oh, super excited for it, man. Well, what else do you want to cover? This has been a bit of a marathon episode, but I think it's going to be a very popular episode for a couple of reasons, man. Just the amount of transparency and hope that you came through with in the opening part. I wasn't sure how deep you were going to go there. And yeah, you really challenged yourself and the listeners today. I think you spoke from the heart. I appreciate that. And then we dove into the software. So it's like almost like two separate episodes, but they blend together so beautifully. It's truly an honor to do this with you, Kang. I mean, I've done almost 800 episodes. This one's going to stand out as one of the best ever, man. If not, eventually, when we look back over our shoulders, maybe the most impactful one for this community once it's all said and done, both from a spiritual and a business opportunity standpoint.
Yeah, so. I think, I'm pretty much done. I just want to wrap it up and say, you know, really out of everything that's happened to me recently, I have really two passions in life. One is to serve this community, because this is where I would say this is my home. This is where I grew up in e-commerce, and I would love to serve this community in any way I can. And my second one, a little off topic, but I kind of like hinted, is really to bring people closer to the Lord. You know, I told my wife that if I can help one person meet Jesus, I'll tell my story every single day. I'll tell it every day. And, you know, so those are my two passions in life. And, you know, so I look forward to serving this community in any way I can. I hope to do it well and really be, you know, a person that would, you know, I don't want a name for myself. You know, I just want to help and whatever I could do, whatever, you know, positive things I can bring forth to me, that is doing good. And at the end, I'm really just doing good for my God, right? For Jesus. And
stewardship, man.
Yeah, stewardship.
It's probably my favorite parable in the New Testament is when, you know, the parable of a stewardship. And it's the only place in the Bible, too, where we read the words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
God gives you something. He gives us all of us something. Some of us get a little more than others, but we're commanded and called to expand that territory by serving others well, and then return it to the master upon request. None of it's ours ever, right?
Well,
what a beautiful commission. Enjoying the benefits along the way.
Yeah, Jesus said about his mouth, right? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's, right? What doesn't belong to God?
It's all his, man. It's all his. What an honor it's going to be to work with you in an increased role in leadership. And you guys are on a healing journey still. Let's not pretend that you don't have some rough days ahead of you. Let's not pretend that Kang might not need a week here and there to just kind of be with his family. But as you're on that healing journey and as you're stepping into this new role of leadership and kind of caring as a leader for this community, I'm really looking forward to the journey. I've learned, you know, you and I've had some pretty in-depth text exchanges and phone calls. And I got to say, man, whatever you say you've learned from me or benefited, I've learned at least that much, if not a whole lot more from you. This, I love your heart and excited to hang with you guys in Orlando. You're going to be there at the Proven Conference, right? I imagine this is going to be a popular topic. And we'll need you guys there for that. You planning to attend, right? We hadn't locked that down yet.
Yeah, you know, unless Jesus' second coming comes, I'll be there.
Okay, there we go, man. Lord willing, unless something weird happens in the world. Yeah, Orlando, the Proven Conference. It's going to be tremendous. If nothing else, after hearing this episode today, you need to get over to theprovenconference.com if you're listening and lock in and attend with us and come see Kang and his family and just love on them. And so many great leaders on our team have already committed and going to be presenting on some just cutting edge topics, man. Well, that's a lot. There's more we could say. We could feature dump on people at this point, but let's just get them over to silentgym.com/thesystem. See a little bit more about it. We'll have more of a launch date posted on that site as we get into 2024. You'll start hearing more rumors of what's coming, and we'll keep you up to date. Just get on the notification list there. But great job, Kang. Pleasure hanging out with you today, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. All right, for the listeners who hung out with Kang and I today, this was a longer episode, but man, I think you're going to agree with me that this is a powerful one. This is one to put a little asterisk next to in the catalog. Look back on it a few years from now and see where we're at, see if my predictions were true. I think this is going to be big, and I'd love to have you be a part of it. Hey, if this is one of the first episodes you've heard around here, I just want to let you know as a listener, you should go back and listen to another 10, 20, 30 episodes where we've interviewed the successful students from this community who have built beautiful businesses, and in many cases, gone on to be leaders on our team. They create content, become coaches. I brought in a new coach just yesterday who's going to be on the podcast here in a few days. The stuff we teach works. Leaders produce leaders, and those leaders produce even more leaders, and we're seeing that ripple effect after doing this the right way for a long period of time. And if you want to be a part of experiencing that journey, check out some of the podcast episodes. Get into our free Facebook group. There's links to all that at silentgym.com. We'd love to welcome you into the community if this resonates with you. And we will have another great episode for you again very soon. God bless. Till then.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentgym.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.